Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds to your risen presence, that we might find you afresh this Easter. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today's Easter Sunday, and tomorrow is April Fool's Day. Media outlets over the years have published many stories on the 1st of April to fool everyone. What's been a bit of fun is now being made into a regular thing with what's known as fake news. Perverted minds with ulterior motives have taken to publishing complete lies as if they're truth. Of course, this is multiplied by social media. For a moment, let's be light-hearted with some April Fool's stories. So one of these stories is true, and one of them is false. Now, the first one is that politically correct students campaigning to rename Imperial College and King's College London. And the second one is that transparent wood can be used to build windows. So which one of those do you think is true and which one is false? Well, apparently the true one is the transparent wood, as Swedish scientists have found that adding polymers at a cellular level can remove the colour out of wood. The article published about the politically correct students in the Times also said that Manchester should now be known as Personchester University. So, and then the second one, National Geographic magazine stopped publishing photos of nude animals. Or a missing woman unwittingly joins a search party looking for herself. Again, which one is true? Well, it's the missing woman who didn't recognise the description of herself and so joined in the search party to look for herself. Hopefully she found herself at the end of it. So for many, the resurrection of Jesus falls into the made-up category. It seems like a made-up story just to fool us and to give us all false hope. Jesus rising from the dead might even seem to be a joke. However, the bodily resurrection of Jesus is absolutely true. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of Christianity. And as we're going to be hearing over the next few weeks from the 15th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians, even St. Paul says if there's no resurrection, there's no faith. So we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't true. It's not fake news. So my approach this morning is to lead us in a time of reflection on the events of that first resurrection Sunday, the first Easter morning, from the perspective of Mary Magdalene. So get ready to activate your imaginations for a drama in three acts. A drama in three acts as we unpack imaginatively what the resurrection means to us today. So first of all, Act 1, the sounds of dawn. So it's the third day. The long night is ending as the colours of morning promise to edge out the darkness. It's been a second night of fitful sleep for Mary, a night full of dreams and nightmares. Dreams of the comforting presence of Jesus, the one who delivered her from demonic influence, the one who had restored her into healthy relationships with others. But the dreams are punctuated with nightmares. Breaking into the happy memories are gruesome images of blood oozing from sharp thorns rammed on his head in the shape of a mocking crown. Images of nails driven through his wrists and ankles, suspending him in agonizing suffocation. The silence of the night is broken by the sound of her sobs. And then the sound of footsteps. Whose are they, Mary wonders? They are her own. As if compelled by some external force, she's heading towards the garden, to the tomb where Joseph of Arimathea had laid Jesus' broken body. Somehow she needs to get to his body and embalm it with the customary spices and ointment. The crunch of the stones under her feet comes to a sudden stop. She sees the stone has been rolled away from the tomb entrance. The tomb is empty. Mary hears her own heartbeat and the blood rushing in her ears. And then the sound of footsteps again, this time in manic return to search for some of the men. Mary finds Peter and John. They're neither awake nor asleep, but gazing in the middle distance in some sort of trance. And in an out-of-body experience, she hears breathless, panicked words tumbling out of her mouth. They've taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. More sounds of running feet. John gets there first, but hesitates at the entrance of the tomb. The older man Peter arrives some second later, panting. He pushes by John to see the discarded grave clothes. John hesitates, but finally he goes in too to see the same sight. It looks neither ransacked nor abandoned, it's just been left. It's as if Jesus had somehow evaporated out of the clothes. The two men emerge, Peter looking puzzled, but John with a sparkle in his eye, as if something at last made sense. They say nothing and trudge off back home. Mary is left alone at the tomb. Act 2, words of despair. Once again, the tears begin to flow down Mary's cheeks. Standing outside the tomb, she peers in. To her amazement, she sees two figures in white sitting where his body had been. Are they angels? Startled, she shakes her head in disbelief. Woman, why are you crying? They say. That's a stupid, futile question. Isn't it obvious? They've taken my Lord away, says Mary for the second time. And I don't know where they've put him. He's gone. Jesus is defeated and now his body's been snatched. Mary turns from the tomb but remains fixed to the spot, not knowing where to go or what to do. But from somewhere behind her, Mary senses a slight movement. She looks around. There's someone standing there. A man, a gardener maybe. She wonders how long he's been there. He seems to be looking at her and she feels exposed and embarrassed. Maybe he knows where Jesus' body is. She turns to face him. The same question as the angels comes from his lips, but there's deep kindness in his voice. Woman, why are you crying? She wants to cry out to this apparent stranger that she's weeping for everything that might have been, everything that was. But how would this stranger understand? How would he understand the friendship she had had from Jesus and the way he'd woven her life with those of his friends? There was so much she could say about Jesus' amazing teaching, the healings and the other miracles, but Mary's grief is overwhelming her. There's so much she could say, but the words won't come. Who is it you're looking for? He asks. She wanted to cry out, I'm looking for the one who saved me, the one who taught me to be myself, the one who accepted me, the one who gave meaning back to me, who showed me other ways of living, the one who rid me of fear and taught me joy. There's something about this man, Mary thought, something familiar, but she couldn't put a finger on it. Anyway, if he's the gardener, he might have been involved. So she eventually gets the words out. A variation on the words she said all day and the nature of her mission this morning. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him. There follows a silence. Why doesn't he say anything? She's beyond hope. Act 3. The delight of discovery. Mary tries to ask him again, but decides it's a lost cause. She's about to head off when the silence is shattered by one short, explosive, four-letter word. Mary. What's in a name? Mary. Our identity. Who we were created to be. Mary. It's the way we're known and the way we relate. Just like Adam naming all the creatures, she is named. With the gift of a name comes the gift of belonging. As Mary hears her name, it's like a shot of adrenaline. She's focused, alive and alert, like she's never been before. As Mary hears her name, her eyes are opened. Hearing the words leads to seeing. And seeing again, she recognizes Jesus at last. Rabboni, Mary cries out, teacher. She confirms that she's recognized Jesus. Mary is known and she's loved. Everything is changing. A whole new world has been born. Not that Mary suddenly understands all of this. There's so much more to unfold. The sun can now be clearly seen in the early morning. In the rest of Jerusalem, the city is stirring. Life's returning to normal after the Passover festival. But as Mary stands in the garden with the risen Lord, she realizes that nothing can be normal again. Jesus is the same, but different. Continuity and discontinuity. His body carries the wounds, but he's more alive than ever. Again, not being able to rationalize this, her response is from her emotions. She throws her arms around Jesus. Mary wants to preserve this moment forever. But Jesus says, do not hold on to me. Jesus, as enigmatic as ever, I've not yet returned to the Father. There's more for the risen Jesus to do in the days to come before he finally ascends to heaven. He will come and go. But for now, Mary's given a commission. Jesus tells her to go to the others and tell them what he has said. Once again running, Mary returns breathless to the other disciples. I've seen the Lord, she blurts out. So the drama is complete. How does John's account of that first Easter morning relate to us in this season? Let's just briefly revisit our three acts. The sounds of dawn. As we awake each day, we don't know what the day will hold. You may be dealing with issues beyond your control. But we're not masters of our own destiny. We think we are in control. But when things go wrong, through circumstances beyond our own making, how do you feel about that? We can't always be masters of our own destiny. Act 2, the words of despair. Over the last few years, life has become so unpredictable, hasn't it? What with the pandemic, the wars in Ukraine and Gaza, corrupt elections, climate crisis, cost of living, issues, and so much more. And all of this compounded by fake news. Major nations in the world with leaders stating things that simply are not true. Lies spoken as if they're truth to manipulators. Do you sometimes worry where the world is heading? What it would be like for our children and their children and so on? But then Act 3. The delight of discovery. The good news. The risen Jesus is still the risen Jesus. His resurrection is irreversible. He is still here to be discovered afresh. The risen Lord calls us by name. He calls you by name. He loves you and he won't let you down. He calls each of us to follow him. He's calling your name right now. However many letters are in your name. But we're not to cling to him, rather to follow him and do as he directs. Enigmatic as ever, Jesus wants us to discover what's next. Mary's a great example to us. Mary was devoted to Jesus. Her commitment didn't waver. Mary's determined and persistent in wanting to find Jesus. She was looking for a dead body, but found a living one. Or rather, the resurrected Jesus found her. So let's go forward with devotion and determination to discover the leading of the Lord Jesus in the midst of our uncertain world. And be ready to be surprised as he finds us again. It's not an April Fool. It's not fake news. As we die to ourselves and follow the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, we're part of God's plan of making all things new. So that tomorrow can be different for us all. Jesus is alive and calling us to reflect his glory in the world. He's calling your name right now.